I want to look at Isaiah chapter 55. I mentioned Sunday night that what my text was going to be, and so you'll get to hear it. Isaiah 55. I want to read the whole chapter just because it's such a great chapter, but verse 10 is my text. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would magnify your name tonight in this place as we look at the power and the effect that your word can have in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would be with us, be with me, be with my words, that what I say will edify this group of believers. In your name we pray, amen. Little did I know, a couple weeks ago when Brother Jarvis asked me to preach while he was gone, that, and the Lord laid this scripture on my heart about snow, that we would have snow and wouldn't have church. We didn't just have snow, we had a lot of snow, a whole bunch of snow. And we worked in that snow. Some people had a leisurely day in a nice warm house, stayed in their pajamas all day, but no, I wasn't quite so lucky. On Friday, I worked about 4 hours in the snow. On Saturday, I worked about 13 hours in the snow. On Sunday, I got a little lazy. It was the Lord's Day, but there were lots of oxes in ditches that day. Worked about 7 hours in the snow. On Saturday, I got the privilege of using a shovel on all that snow for about 12 hours. So when the day got finished, I told Dane, I said, Dane, if you don't have a piece of equipment for me to run tomorrow, I ain't running that shovel. This 45-year-old back don't have 2 days of snow shoveling in it. And so that's why I only worked half a day on Sunday. He had a guy who ran Bobcat for a little while, and then I took over about 7 o'clock. A lot of snow out there. A lot of snow out there. Aaron was in it, and Seth was in it. Michael Dane and Dane, kind of a family thing going on there. But the snow, lots of snow. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven. When you think about snow, it piles up really fast. When it came down Friday, about 5 in the morning, 5:30, there wasn't hardly a thing on the ground. But by noon, there was quite a bit, and it just kept coming, and it kept coming, and it kept coming. The rain that comes down and the snow. God compares the rain and the snow here to His Word. In this portion of Scripture, here in this section of Isaiah, this is a section where Isaiah has dealt with the children of Israel and their sin. And now in these chapters, here in the 40s and 50s of the book of Isaiah, he's kind of transitioned into some hope. He's letting them know that even though there's been sin, and even though there's a pronouncement of judgment, in these chapters preceding this and following this, he's discussing with them a deliverance that will take place. That, yes, God's going to judge you, and he talked about Babylon and how that they would be taken away, and he even spoke about how that they would be taken captive. But then in these chapters, he's saying, God's pronounced judgment, but that's not the end. That's not the end. It's not the end of what's going to happen. He mentioned Cyrus, that Cyrus would declare that his people would be able to return hundreds of years before Cyrus ever lived and made that declaration. And so Isaiah, he's speaking of hope here, a hope about the situation. And so in chapter 55, he's telling, okay, if you're thirsty, if you hear of the judgment of God and your desire to receive from Him, you can come freely and receive that. He talks about how he's going to keep the promise that he made with David, and that the same promise, the mercies that he showed David, would be the mercies that would be exhibited to the children of Israel ongoing into the future. In chapter 53, we know that was talking about the Messiah coming, that the Messiah would come. And so here in chapter 55, there's a sense of urgency. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. So it's still the prophet who's talking to some people that are straying away from him. And he's saying, seek him while he may be found. Look for him and while he is near. Call upon him while he was near. Forsake your ways. But then Isaiah knew who he was talking to. He was talking to some people who weren't going to listen. They weren't going to listen. Even though God was giving them this ray of hope and this possibility of his deliverance, he still understood. Isaiah knew the people he was talking to weren't going to listen. And so Isaiah begins to, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The way you think things should work out aren't the way things are going to work out. The way you think things should be are not the way they should be. He makes a comparison. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. And then he makes another comparison. He says, here's an example of how my thoughts are different than yours. It's like the rain that comes down. And he said, even though you're not going to listen to what I'm going to say, my word will not return void. The things that I say, and that's just like the water cycle. And he's comparing it here to the cumulative effect that water and rain and snow have on our climate, on the ground. I read some statistics that in the West, out in Western United States, 75% of their water for the year comes from snow melt. In some areas in the Western United States. Whether they're going to have drought or good crops depends on how much snow falls on those Rocky Mountains. It's something that God plans in the winter for what's going to happen in the summer. Isaiah was talking to some people who were not going to listen to him, but Isaiah was sure and confident. He knew that without question, God's plan was going to be fulfilled. It wasn't going to be fulfilled in the immediate moment that stood before them with the people who he was talking to at that time. But he knew that God's word was sure and steadfast. He knew that it was not going to be defeated. It was not going to be set aside. It was not going to be just lost and forgotten. But he said, it's like the rain that cometh down and the snow from heaven, which returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Right now, we're dealing with a lot of snow melting around us. Swamps in everybody's yard, everywhere. It's muddy. You get off the pavement and you're making a mess in your yard. Because the water, the snow that fell last week is affecting what happens right now. The snow that's falling right now in the Rocky Mountains, we're not so much tied to the snow around here as other places in the world, but the principle here is that it's not connected together. The immediate fall of the snow and the immediate fall of the rain doesn't always have the effect that we think it's going to have. It's a seasonal. God's word has a seasonal and a cumulative effect. It doesn't always happen in our time. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It has a seasonal and a cumulative effect. What do you do when you, I know that Aaron, when he plants his seeds in the spring, he'll soak his green beans and his corn the night before. How many of you do that? Soak your beans before you plant them. Nobody does that. Aaron does that. Works pretty good. Because what is that seed? That seed's dry. I've got seeds in my freezer. Put them in the freezer to keep bugs from getting in them. I've got seeds in my freezer that have been there for years that I haven't planted. Nothing's going to happen with them. If I got them out of the freezer and laid them on the counter, nothing would happen. A bug might start eating it, but nothing's going to happen. Because for that seed to be able to accomplish what it was designed to do, it's got to have moisture. It's got to have the right temperature. It's got to have those things so that that life will germinate. So that life will come to be. It says there, the rain and snow, it watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. It makes it bring forth and bud. That reservoir of water, those mountaintop peaks that are filled with snow, it's like a lake on a mountain that's waiting for some melting to come so that it can go down and can fill the valley. We read there in Psalm about the dew of Hermon. The water that's up on that mountain that flows down into the valleys around and brings life to all of the people who live in that area because of that water. That water that's important. It watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. It brings life. That water, without the water, there can't be life. Without the water, there can't be that growing of necessary foods and even the pretty things you like to grow. It bringeth forth and buds. It brings, it says there that it may give seed to the sower. That it may give seed to the sower. You know, the Word of God, the wonderful words of life, that bring life to you and to me, the words of life that tell me of faith and beauty, the song says, that tell me about Jesus Christ, that tell me about the plan that God had from the foundations of the earth to that the Lamb would be slain, that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. That gospel seed truth brings life to me.
and brings life to you. To this dead sinner, the words of life that are spoken, it says it gives seed to the sower. You know, that water brings life. It also, the seed to the sower, that speaks to me of there's some people who need to recognize this seasonal and cumulative effect of the Word of God and begin to work with the seed. Seed to the sower. It gives seed to the sower. There's people who, you and I, we don't grow a lot of crops ourselves. We do it for fun. We do some of it because we like some special things. We like those fresh tomatoes. We like those fresh green beans. But we don't really grow all our food. Somebody else out in Iowa, somewhere, Nebraska, they're working large acreages of crops so that you and I can have some food. In the olden days, when you were growing your own food, there was dad who had his jobs to do, mom who had their job to do, to make sure the family had what they needed when they were hungry. This water, this life-giving water that rains down from heaven, this life-giving water of the Word of God that was given to us by God Himself, His words, He revealed Himself to us, has been given to us. Seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. Our job is to make sure that we don't keep all that seed in the freezer. But that we get that seed out and we start planting it. That we get that out and we begin to work that harvest. It gives seed to the sower. Psalm 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Taking that, knowing that God's provided the water, knowing that God's provided the seed, we got to go out and make the effort to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed. Romans says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's seed to the sower. As like the rain and the snow, it gives life and it gives seed to the sower. And then the last part of the verse there, it says, and bread to the eater. I like that phrasing, the eater. The eater. Growing up at our house, you had to be an eater. If you weren't an eater and you didn't get after it, you were left out. Because there were too many big fellas, big boys, who wanted what was sitting on that table. So you had to be an eater. We don't talk a lot at dinner. Gilpins get around us, not a lot of talking. And I think that's probably it. We learned growing up. If you talk, you're not going to get as much as you want. So you just keep it quiet and keep shoveling. Bread to the eater. Bread to the eater. There's hungry people out there that need to know about the life-saving work of Jesus Christ. There's hungry people out there who are just looking for something. Belinda mentioned these young ladies that are hungry. They want some help with their babies. The real need in their life is they need help with their spirit and their soul and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And she said, I'm glad that God's given me this opportunity. Bread to the eater. God has sent His Word. He sent His Word. It's like that rain and that snow. Oh, it's distant from when you really get to pick that bean in that field. It's distant from when you really get to put some in that can. It's distant from where you go down and get it out of the basement and open it up and put it on the stove. Many years ago, there was rain and there was snow that brought about the possibility of the things that we have on our table that we ate tonight. And just like that, God has planned. He has a plan. His plan is bigger than our plan. It goes far beyond what you and I can imagine. He planned years, eons, eternity ago about you and me and my salvation and those around us. He planned it.
And his plan will come to pass. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. You look at these verses, you've got life. You've got the seed and the bread. He said, it proceeds out of my mouth. He's proclaimed it. The things that he's proclaimed, he revealed himself to us. He revealed himself to us in this word. He proclaimed himself to us. He said, it's not going to return void. The revelation that I make of myself to you, it's not going to return to me void, but it will do that which I please. It will do that which I please. I lost my place in my Bible there. There we are. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Sometimes we look around and we say, is the Word of God really prospering? We wonder if there's any effect that's taken place. Is there any effect that has been there? Has it really done what it was supposed to do? You might look around and say, well, it just doesn't look like it. Well, we may not be in the season where you're going to see the full effect of it. That season may not have come, but it's our job to seed, to let the seed go. It's our job to see the waters coming. It's our job to take care of that. The vast amounts of rainfall that come every year, the day that the rain comes is not the day my crop comes out of the ground. The day that the snow falls is not even the time it's even growing. So we may look around us and say that, it seems useless. Why bother? Why are we even trying? But there's a cumulative effect and a seasonal effect of God's Word. It will not return void. He said, so shall my Word be. It'll do what I please, and it will prosper. It'll be above and beyond what our minds, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It'll be above and beyond our expectation, what God's Word accomplishes. He goes on to say in verse 12, as we see this cumulative effect of God's Word that begins to work and to make change and bring about changes, for ye shall go out with joy. With joy. We'll return again with joy. That's what Psalm says. And led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When they see the wonderful effect of God's Word, the wonderful effect that God's Word has had, it'll bring a worship. It'll bring joy. It'll bring singing. It'll bring rejoicing. And that's why when we gather together in the house of God, we rejoice because we see what God's Word has done. We see what God's power has done. We worship Him. We clap our hands. We sing because of what God's Word has accomplished. He accomplished it in my life and in your life and what He's doing. Another thing, a great thing about God's Word is it brings about an outcome that was unexpected and a whole lot better outcome. Because you look at verse 13, instead, I like that word instead of thorns shall come up a fir tree. Now that's a big difference. In this life, we look around us and it's a life of wickedness and sin and trouble. But it says, instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Instead, God's Word is what makes the difference. God's Word is what makes the difference. It's His plan. It's His power. It's His working in our lives that makes the difference. It's not our own efforts and our own plans, but it's what He does and what He has done. And when He has declared what He's going to do, it will be accomplished. And instead of briars, and instead of thorns, instead of sinfulness, instead of wickedness, instead of depression, instead of sorrow, instead of all of these things, He brings us joy and peace and love and satisfaction and salvation and eternal life. Instead of the life of the eternal damnation in hell, He gives us eternal life in heaven with Him. Instead, it's what he accomplished. His word. He said, let there be light. And there was light. That's it accomplished. It prospered in that which it was sent to do. Another place in Scripture says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. He commanded, another place in Scripture says, and they were created. His word is effective. Don't you ever doubt the effectiveness of God's word. Jesus Christ, he was the living word. It wasn't just a word that he gave through prophets in olden days, as Hebrews says. But now in these last days, has he spoken to us by his Son? By his Son. His Son came down to speak life to us. He said to Lazarus, come forth. Oh, the power of God's words. Oh, the power of the word of God. He spoke to that fig tree, and it never bore again. It never bore again. Words of judgment. By his words, he told the demons to come out. By his words, he spoke healing and commanded disease to flee from bodies. By his words, he said, peace, be still. And it accomplished that for which it was sent. His words. In the garden, they said, we've come to find Jesus. And he said, it is I. And his enemies fell to the ground. His word. His word accomplishes that for which it is sent. We can have confidence. We can have confidence. We can have confidence that God's word is effective. We can have confidence and not doubt that what God says is true. We can hold fast to every promise he has given. We can know for a surety that it is not wavering. It will come to pass. We understand that God's word, oh, it's seasonal. It's cumulative, but it's effective. It's effective. It will accomplish that for which it is sent to do. And so what I say is, his word, just like that snow, Lord, pile it on. Pile it on. Pile it up. Let's have all the word we can get. Let's have all the word we can get. Let's have every bit of the word that we can have. And I was thinking about the word of God. The Gideon's International. Some statistics about the Gideon's International. More than 2 billion Bibles and New Testaments have been distributed worldwide since 1908. 2 billion. Praise God that his word is being piled on. Some other statistics here. Last year, 88 million copies of God's word were distributed. On average, there are more than 2 copies of God's word distributed per second. Praise the Lord. Pile it on. Pile it on. Some other statistics. I love my Bible apps. I love my Bible apps. YouVersion, Blue Letter Bible. They're great. Wonderful. YouVersion statistics. 210 million installs have been made since 2008. 210 million. There have been 630 million verses highlighted. Wow. The word is being piled on. It's piling up. 325,000 bookmarks have been created. 91,014,292,470 minutes has the Bible been read through YouVersion. Pile it on. Pile it on. We need all the word that we can get. We need all the word that we can get. Why? Because his word is powerful. It's not something that we just set aside and something we forget about. It's so easy to do. I'll confess, I miss my days sometimes. But thank God for my my app. It helps keep me up. It's not to be set aside. It's not to be forgotten. It's to be treasured. And understand that it is our strength and our help. It is what we look for. Look at the change that the Word of God made in the society of the United States back in the 1700s. God wanted to do something unique here in the Americas. And what did He do? He set in course a great awakening. The Word of God, the American Bible Society, the American Tract Society, all of those things were part of that great awakening back in the 1700s. How was this nation formed? It was because God's Word had an effect on the men and women who lived in this country at that time, and this nation was able to be created the way that it was to be the great nation that it is, that honors God because of His Word. Because of His Word. The Reformation. Martin Luther got in the Word. He knew there were some things that just weren't right about the traditions of the church. And he said, I've got to see what it is. And it was the Word of God that let him understand the just shall live by faith. And look at the great change over history that has been made because God's Word does not return void. God's Word will accomplish that for which it is sent to do. Those are the large vision of how the world is affected. But what about a smaller vision of how the Word affects a church? The Word affects a church through revival. It's the hearing of the Word. It's the Word that leads us to know what we need to do to become what God wants us to be. So that He can move in our midst and He can change us. It's the Word of God that gives us the burden for the harvest that's around us. In hearing the preaching, great preaching that goes on at this place, each service in, service out, all different times of the year, that shows us how to live and what this church ought to be. It's the Word of God. Thank God for London Christian Academy, where young people can get the Word piled on. Scripture after scripture, month after month, week after week, year after year, that Word of God will not return void. It has a cumulative seasonal effect. That young person may not be exactly where they need to be right now, but I trust that God's Word, it'll have a cumulative seasonal effect on their life. What about in your family? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 says, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Pile it on. Pile it on. Like snow, let it just pile up. You don't know what the effect is going to be. That snow melt comes in March, April, May. You don't know what the effect's going to be. Pile it on. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Put them on the doorpost. Put them here or there. Let them hang on your face. Do these things. What was he saying? Pile on the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides their heart. It knows what we need. It knows what we need. And like that surgical instrument, it's able to penetrate the heart and do exactly what needs to be done in that life. Pile on the Word. Let it pile up. Go ahead. Let it. Just put it there. You may think, what's this going to accomplish? You may be teaching that Sunday school class and saying, man, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. They're not listening to me. Just keep piling it on. Just keep going at it. Just keep putting it there. Because it's not up to you to say, okay, this really worked. It's up to God. He's the one who's going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. It's up to us to say, here it is. And pile it on. In an individual's life, we need the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Paul talked about the cleansing of the Word. His Word, it has a seasonal cumulative effect. And we don't need to take for granted His Word. But every time we have an opportunity to hear the Word, to read the Word, to share the Word, that we're saying, yes, this is
from God. And it's powerful. And we're going to keep piling it up. Piling it up. Like snow, like rain. We don't worry about where the effect comes. We just worry about saying, Lord, I want more of your word. I want to be a part of sowing more of that seed so that your word can accomplish and will accomplish what it wants to accomplish.